HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Question of the week. GlaxoSmithKline's 100-year-old antacid, Eno, is a popular brand in 40 countries across the world. Which country is its biggest market? Answer. GSK's largest market for Eno anywhere in the world is India, where it is also the largest selling antacid brand. The news in summary. BPOs don't normally buy cable firms and certainly not loss-making ones. But that's what Hindija Global Solutions just did, inviting the ire of shareholders and analysts. On the other hand, Tech Mahindra's latest acquisition didn't please the markets but did make synergistic sense. At PTC India Financial Services, the sudden resignation of three directors from its six-member board invited the regulatory glare, while Axis Finance, a unit of Axis Bank, is threatening the Zee-Sony marriage by demanding Subhash Chandra pay back his loans first. And as Jet lurches from one starting problem to another, the Supreme Court delivered a body blow to Davis in its case against Antrix Corporation. Curious goings-on at Hindija Global. Minority shareholders of Hindija Global Solutions, HGS, were left fuming when the company's board agreed to buy out NXD Digital Limited, a loss-making firm with 855 crore in debt. Not only is the logic of a business process management firm buying a cable and broadcasting distribution firm questionable, but there is also the issue of the same set of three directors on the boards of the two companies, both a part of the Ashok Hindija Group. The development comes on top of the shareholders' dissatisfaction with the low dividends they received from the company's sale of its lucrative healthcare business to a private equity firm for 8,000 crore. At the time of the sale in August, the company's CEO Partita Sarkar told analysts and investors that the money raised would be used to invest in the organic growth of the business, a larger sales engine, and acquisitions in the technology space. However, in a subsequent call, he also placed a cap of 500 crore on HGS's exposure to group companies through ICDs or loans. Instead, last week HGS sought shareholder approval to increase the loans it could give to other promoter entities to 3,500 crore. Little wonder, then, that peeved investors are demanding an investigation by the Securities and Exchange Board of India, SEBI. Tech's growing appetite. Tech Mahindra, which has been on an acquisition spree with 10 deals in the past year, took another step in its inorganic growth strategy after agreeing to buy Comtech company IT Limited, CTC, a software services provider with development centers in Latvia and Belarus, for 310 million euros, around 2,620 crore. The acquisition will allow Tech Mahindra to expand its digital engineering services to clients in the insurance, reinsurance and financial services business. With this, the company has so far invested upwards of $750 million in buying smaller firms to boost its services portfolio for the European market. The company's shares, which have been on a tear over the last year, reacted adversely to the development, dropping and opening deals a day after the announcement. Analysts, though, said they didn't expect any meaningful revision to their earnings estimates owing to the relatively small size of the deal. Another NBFC faces regulatory heat. In a by now familiar tale of non-banking financial companies facing the heat, PTC India Financial Services, PFS, is under the lens of regulators after three of its independent directors, constituting half of the company's board, resigned, citing instances of serious lapses in corporate governance. The Securities and Exchange Board of India, SEBI, the Reserve Bank of India, the Corporate Affairs Ministry and the two national exchanges are in the process of writing to the company, 65% of whose equity is held by PTC India, seeking an explanation for the sudden departure of the three directors amidst charges that the chairman and the managing director were misleading the investors and the board. The three directors highlighted frauds in loan accounts like those of VEL and FS Tamil Nadu Power, ITCL, and NSL Nagapattinam Power, which were not reported to the board in time. The management of the company refuted the allegations but accepted that there were differences of opinion at operation and board level of PFS on few issues. It did state that the matter would be addressed at the board level. After the resignations of the three independent directors, the board of the company is left with just three members, two of whom are nominees of its promoter company PTC India, its Axis Finance vs. Zee Now. Despite its sale to Sony Pictures, Zee Entertainment's troubles are far from over. While the deal whereby Sony will pick up a 50.86% stake in the indebted company is still to find approval from its shareholders as well as the regulators, Axis Finance, a unit of Axis Bank, has threatened legal action against Z's promoters Subhash Chandra and Puneet Goenka if they don't repay its loans. The threat extends to opposing the merger between Z and Sony. Axis's action stems from the Chandra family's inability to repay a 200 crore loan given to two of his privately owned firms, which were backed by securities of another three firms. Axis Finance subsequently invoked the pledged shares to recover a part of the outstanding dues worth 146 crore. In its response, Z dismissed all allegations made by Axis Finance, calling them meritless and unjustified. SC delivers Dava's immortal blow. The controversial 2005 satellite deal between Antrix Corporation, the commercial arm of the Indian Space Research Organization, ISRO, and Dava's Multimedia Private Limited refuses to get off the headlines. After the Supreme Court dismissed an appeal by Dava's Multimedia Private Limited and its parent Dava's Employees Mauritius Private Limited against a winding-up order issued by the National Company Law Tribunal, NCLT, and the National Company Law Appellate Tribunal, NCLA, the government went into overdrive with Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman telling a press conference that the whole deal had been fraud on people of India, fraud against the country. She also said that the government would use the SC ruling to contest multiple international arbitration awards, including one from a Canadian court earlier this month, over the cancelled contract. The SC ruling came after the NCLT in May concluded that Dava's Multimedia was incorporated with a fraudulent motive to collude and connive with the then officials of Antrix Corporation to bag bandwidth from it by entering into an agreement in 2005, which was subsequently cancelled by the government. Jet just can't get it right. Jet Airways, under its new promoters, a consortium of UAE-based entrepreneur Murari Lal Jalan and UK-based Colrock Capital, is facing further headwinds in its revival efforts. The airline's air operator's permit, AOP, which is required to start commercial operations, is yet to be revalidated. With jet fuel prices climbing and key executives tasked with the airline's second coming leaving, its task appears onerous, particularly at a time when rival Akasha Air appears to be making all the right moves. The Rakesh Jhunjhunwala promoted airline has already got a no objection certificate and has also placed orders for aircraft in preparation for starting operations, which in all likelihood will now be before Jet gets off the ground. The teething troubles of Jet 2.0 might deflect from the looming competition that the entry of two new airlines, along with a Tata-owned Air India, present for market leader IndiGo. But as this Harvard Business Review video about Michael Porter's Five Forces framework outlines, the threat of new entry can be a key source of competitive pressure within an industry. Last word. There's food for thought in Unilever PLC's decision to end its pursuit of GlaxoSmithKline PLC's consumer healthcare business after its stock price took a sharp dive following savage criticism from analysts and investors about the price and strategic fit of the proposed transaction. For its part, GlaxoSmithKline rejected Unilever's third bid, due, on the grounds, it undervalued the unit, 32% co-owned by Pfizer and boasting of brands like Aquafresh toothpaste and Advil painkillers. The most interesting part of the aborted transaction, though, might be the price at which things stalled. Unilever's last offer of $68 billion is what Microsoft paid for under-fire gaming company Activision Blizzard.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.